Okay, today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Lamed Dalid. We left off in daf Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis. We're at Amar Rav Zvid, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th wide line on daf Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis. Amar Rav Zvid, Hai Mani Dekunya, certain glazed clay cheres, Chivra V'uchma Shari, if it's black or white, it's permissible, so you don't have to worry about the blios that are inside of it in terms of the yayin. Yeroka Asr Mishum Demitzrov, but if it's yarok, if it's green or yellowish, then it's going to be Asr because we assume that it's mitzruf. What does it mean that it's mitzruf? So Rashi says, Shieshbo karka mechafor shel tzrif ubali tfei, that in the glaze, they have to mix in some type of earthenware, some type of dirt, and that makes it more porous, it makes it more able to be boleya. And as a result, it's going to be a problem. The ispu kartuf ni kulu asiri. But if these types of kelim have cracks in them, then they're asr no matter what you do, because then we assume that the tam certainly goes through the cracks. Darish Maremar darshan as follows: Kunya bein uchma bein chivra bein yiroka shari. That these kunya kelim, whether they again glazed clay cheres, regardless of their color, they're all mutter. So frekta gemara maisha mechametz bePesach. Why should the halacha in regards to yayin nesach, where we say that these glazed clay cheres are always mutter, why should that be any different than the halacha by chametz bePesach, that if you have glazed clay cheres that you use year round, the halacha is not necessarily that it's okay to use it on Pesach, no matter what color it is, no matter what type it is, because it's not balea. We don't necessarily say that by chametz bePesach. Debo minei maremar, because the shaila was asked of maremar, hani mani dekunya ma'ul shtamusha bu bePischa. This exact shaila about using these kelim was asked of maremar, and the way it was phrased was yiroka loti ba'ilaf the mitzrafi ubali vasiri. When it comes to the green ones or to the yarok ones, then there's no question that it's going to be asur, obviously, because it's balea. Kiti by lachiv riva uchmi. The only shaila is on the black and white ones. So what's the din? Ki isbu kartuf niloti bayilach devadi bali vasiri. So furthermore, if it has cracks in it, then also there's no shaila. It's got to be asur if there are cracks in it. Kiti bayilach deshi imai. The only shaila is, what if it's smooth? There are no cracks. Samar lahu, anach hazina lahu, dimadyasi. He says, well, I've seen that these kelim tend to sweat from the outside. V'kivin dimadyasi vade bali vasiri. So since they sweat from the outside, they're certainly balea, and therefore they're absolutely aser. My taima, why are they aser? Why can't you just kasher it? Hatori hi idal kli cheres sheni yotzim idei dofna liolam. Because the Torah is made to us about kli cheres, that whatever tam is balua and kli cheres stays in there forever. You could never get the tam out of a kli cheres. What does it mean the Torah is made? Where does the Torah ever say those words? So the Torah never says it in so many words, but when the Torah tells us that that when dealing with kli midyan, how to kasher all the different kelim, and the Torah says kli cheres tishaver, you have to break the kli cheres. So obviously there's no alternative method, there's nothing that's going to work to kasher the kli cheres. So that's the edus of the Torah, that kli cheres, the tam in kli cheres is ein yotze midei dofen liolam. But why did we quote all this? To ask the shaila, maishna, to ask the kasher rather, maishna miyayin nesach to darsh lumereimar kulu mani dekunya shari. Why is it that when it comes to chametz bePesach, we said that mani dekunya, that these glazed clay cheres, if they're yarok, they're definitely aser. If they have cracks, they're definitely aser. It's only if they're smooth and they're black or white, we weren't sure, and then we paskin that they're aser. Yet when it comes to Yayin Nesach, across the board, Maremar was willing to say that it's all mutter, that any of these types of kelim, you don't have any concerns of Yayin Nesach. So, lest you try to answer v'chitema chametz daraisa yayin nesach t'rabanan, that we take concerns of chametz more seriously because we're dealing with a daraisa concern, whereas yayin nesach is only t'rabanan concern. But that can't be the case. V'akol t'tikun rabanan ken daraisa tikun. These dinim t'rabanan are patterned after dinim daraisa, meaning the details of the applications of the dinim t'rabanan are all based on the details of applications of dinim daraisa. So how we would treat the belios of stam yenam, which is enochinami only drabanan, would be the same as how we would treat the belios of chametz, which is daraisa. So what's the answer? Why do we treat them differently? Answers the Gemara, fundamental difference. Zetashmisha b'chamin, v'zetashmisha b'tzonein. When you use kelim for yayin nesach is typically cold. And since it's typically cold, the level of blios is not quite the same. It's not a very strong blia. Whereas when you use chametz b'pesach, when you use a kli for chametz year-round, so you use it with hot chametz, and hot certainly has the ability to be balea, to be mavlia, more than cold does. Now if you look at Tosos on the top, sheni yotzi midei dofno liolam, that kli cheres, one of the unique characteristics of kli cheres is that it stays in the dofnei kli forever. Fractosos tema, nadrinu l'kivshonos, why can't you put it back into the furnace where the kli cheres was formed? Kedam perek dam chatos b'zvachim, gabi kli cheres shal mikdash, u'meshani l'fi sheinos and kivshonos b'yushalayim. By the kli cheres of the mikdash, we ask the same thing, and we say, oh no, the problem over there is that they don't make a kivshon in Yerushalayim. Sounds like it's only a technical issue that in Yerushalayim they were not supposed to set up kivshonos. But if you have your own klei cheres, then you could certainly put it back in the kivshon, and that will kasher it. Halavach yali de'achzar b'kivshon yotzei. Certainly, you get the impression from the Gemara and Zvachim that putting it back in the kivshon would work. Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam, de'ein zeh nechshav yotzei. The adra b'kli achar chashvin panim chadash bo l'kan. No, when you put it back in the kivshon, it's not that the blios come out of the kli, it's that the kli comes out of the kli. There's no kli anymore. You're refashioning the kli, and the kli that comes out of the kivshon is a brand new kli. It's a different kli than the kli that went into the kivshon. So any kli cheres can never continue to exist with and lose its blios. That's still absolutely true. Of course, as a practical matter, you could put it back in the kivshon and have a different kli cheres, a new kli cheres. V'im tomar fractosos kivin dechash of kli acher im kein tanu v'kirayim yutatz dam rachmana lama le'drinu b'kivshonos. According, if it in fact is considered a kli acher, why, when the Torah tells us that tanu v'kirayim yutatz, that if you have an oven made out of cheres that was used for non kosher food, so you should shatter, you should destroy it. Why destroy it? L'drinu b'kivshonos, just put it back in the kivshonos. It's a new kli, and everything should be fine. V'omer Rabbeinu Shimshon, mishans tevadei gabi kederu shal cheres dein darkon behesek, ki machzu b'kivshon, shayich l'meimer, elu acherim heim. So he says another important yisod. Whenever discussing the kashering of kelim, you have to look at how it was originally used. When you're dealing with a pot that was used with a liquid medium, and it was put on top of a fire, but there was a liquid medium inside of it, and the blios were based on the hot liquid that was inside of it. So then, when you put it into direct fire, that's considered something totally unusual, and that might make it be considered a brand new kli. But when you're talking about an oven, a stove, whose blios are with the heat of actual fire, so you're not going to call putting it back into a kivshan, putting it back into the furnace, something that's really going to be, it's going to redefine it and reshape it as a kli. So that's what he says. Avotanvi kiraim sheisurin bali dehesek. It's not going to be called a new kli just because you go and you put it into the kivshan. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Akiva ikla leginzak. Rabbi Akiva went to Ginzak. He traveled to Ginzak. Bo minei, and they asked him three shailas. Once the rabbi's in town, they figured they'll ask him all their questions. Shaila number one. Misanin l'shalos o'ein misanin l'shalos. Can a person fast for certain hours? What that means is, if a person began his fast, began the day rather, not thinking he's going to fast, and he got halfway through and he realized, you know what, I haven't eaten today anyway, I might as well finish the day off fasting and let that count as a fast, right? Because he hasn't eaten anyway. So I guess you can call this stuff yomi coincidence, out of the one fasting of the Storaisa. Okay, so Misan on the show, it's got to be pointed out. Misan on the show, so can you fast in such a situation or not? So Lava Biade, he didn't know. I mean, does that count as a fast? He wasn't sure. Then they asked him about the jugs of Ovdei Kochavim. Are they Asur or are they Mutar? Lava Biade, didn't know that one either. Then he asked, what was Moshe wearing during the 7 days of the Miluim, of the consecration of the Mishkan, when he was effectively serving as the Kohen Gadol? Did he wear Bigdei Kohuna? What was he wearing? So, Lava Biyadeh, he didn't know the answer. So all these three questions they asked him, he didn't know the answer. Fascinating over here, Tosa should be Akiva Ikla Leginzak. Tosa says, Pirush Rashi Parakamid the time is Tagaras Mar Ukva, that it can't be Rabbi Akiva who went and was asked these three questions. It has to be Mar Ukva. Dechas v'shalom Rabbi Akiva lo hayim estapek. Because God forbid, Rabbi Akiva wouldn't not know the answer to three consecutive questions. Can't be. Apparently, it's okay to say that about Mar Ukva, not about Rabbi Akiva. I'm not sure what, you know, Mar Ukva probably was a pretty big Talmud Chacham too, but apparently Rabbi Akiva is held in such high esteem that we can't even imagine that he didn't know the answer to these three questions. Very, very difficult idea. Va'ori says, Ki hayu lo l'talmud la'aviyah b'lashon b'raisa. If it was Rabbi Akiva, that would mean it was a Tana. And when it's a Tana, so the Gemara should have mentioned Tana Rabbana, Netanya, should have said something about a b'raisa over here. Miu halokasha, the harbi makomus matzim shemaskar maisa b'Rabbi Akiva chiyotze bo. But says Tosos, the first point I see, that, you know, you don't want to say Rabbi Akiva didn't know the answer to the three questions. The second point is not really such a kasha, because there are a lot of times where we don't make it explicit that we're quoting a brisa, and in fact we are quoting a brisa, so it doesn't bother Tosos as much. In Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Hagos, in the back of the Gemara, he says that how do we mess this up? How did Rabbi Akiva Marukva turn into Rabbi Akiva? He says no, our gears in the Gemara is 100% correct. It says Reish Ayin, and that was Rav Ukva. The Gemara calls him Mar Ukva usually, but it was Rav Ukva. So people just misunderstand and think that it means Rabbi Akiva. But it doesn't mean Rabbi Akiva, it means Rav Ukva. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden. In Agav's Paras Yosef, also in the back of the Gemara, he quotes from a Gemara in Brachas and Haman Beis that we actually do find that there was an Amora named Rav Akiva. So it could be that it's the same Rav Akiva. So there wasn't only one Rabbi Akiva, the Tana, there was a Rav Akiva, the Amora, as well. Okay, now this question, Vamesh Shimesh Moshe, Kulshavis Yimei Miluim, if you notice in the side in the Mesoros HaShas, it says, Ayin Tosos Chagiga Vavan Beis Dibra Maschel Mai Nafkamina, Tosos Sanhedrin Tasovan Beis Dibra Maschel Shor Sinai. What those Tosos are referring to, Tosos Mesach Sanhedrin at least asks, why would we want to know what the halacha is by Shor Sinai? I mean, that's, if you recall, at the beginning of Sanhedrin, there's a very long Mishnah that goes through all the different types of cases and how many dayanim you need on a Beis Din to adjudicate all the different types of cases. So the Gemara discusses how dine nefashos, you need a Sanhedrin Ketana. Dine mamnas, you only need a Beis Din of three judges. So the Gemara says, what about Shor Sinai? How many dayanim would you need for the halacha is in the Torah that at Har Sinai, calls man that the Shekhinah was there, no animal was allowed to go up on Har Sinai. So what if an animal did go up on Har Sinai? How would you be done the Shor Sinai? What would be the status of the Shor Sinai? So Tosfos asked the question, who cares? I'm sure if it happened, Moshe Rabbeinu dealt with it. But for us, my nafkamina, my dahava hava, what happened happened. It's not relevant. So Tosfos answers, maybe Shema Mibayle the Mizvar Krai. Maybe we needed to know the answer to explain Psukim, to be able to teach up Psukim in the Chumash, like we find in Maseches Yuma, Ketzad Hilbishan, where it asks how Moshe Rabbeinu was Malbish Aaron when he took over the Kohuna. So the Gemara says, yeah, Maidava Hava. No, it's not Maidava Hava, because we need to know how to explain the Psukim. We also have in Maseches Chulin, Rashi Maseches Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin, the Rabbi Yirmiyah asks in the Gemara, Basar Nechira Sheikhnisu Yisrael Iman Laretz Yisrael Mahu. Basar Nechira, the Klal Yisrael brought into Eretz Yisrael with them. Was it kosher or was it not? Since it already became kosher out in the Midbar. So even though it doesn't really make enough gemina for us, so Rashi says, Droshu Kabal Schar, that you need to know the MS. Some you just need to know Pshat, you need to know what actually happened. That's also valuable. So two modes of answering these kinds of questions. Either saying that there's got to be enough Gemina just in the way that we're able to learn up the Psukim, or maybe there's no enough Gemina, but Droshu Kabal Schar, it's good to know. It sounds, they're very similar ideas actually, because Droshu Kabal Schar is when we're learning it, we want to get the MS, which is the same as being able to interpret the Psukim properly. The Rush in Simon Chav Gimel does not like Rashi's interpretation, because he sees a difference between these two ideas. He says the Midrash Krai is different than Joshua Kabal Schar. Joshua Kabal Schar is, even if I don't have any psukim to explain, I just want to know what happened. The Rosh says, we don't say that. We don't really care what happened unless there's some nafkamina for us, or it helps us learn Torah Shebichsav. It helps us actually learn what it says in Chumash. But stam, just to talk about it, doesn't mean anything. The Rosh doesn't like that idea. So you have similar over here. What did Moshe Rabbeinu use during the Shivus Yimei HaMiluim? Okay, so it's you got to say that it's a drosha kabel schar that we needed to explain psukim on some level. There are a number of tells. Let's finish up the story first. So he didn't know the answers. So asa shal be midrasha. They went to ask in the base medrash. Amri, and the answer was hilchasa misan l'sha'os v'mishlam espal tefilas tainus. First of all, in terms of the misan l'sha'os, it is called the tainus so much so that you even say anenu in your tefila. It's absolutely a tainus. Number two, vilchasa karkanim shalov v'chavim lachar yud beis chodesh mutarim. The halacha is that the jugs of avdei kochavim after yud beis chodesh, after 12 months are up, is What did Moshe Rabbeinu use? What did he wear during the Shivus Yimei HaMiluim? He wore a white robe. Rav Kana masim b'chaluk lavan shein bo imra. Rav Kana taught that it was a white robe that didn't have any imra. What does an imra mean? So Rashi says it means a hem where you could have stuck something in there and hidden something in there. So Rashi says the point was that that people shouldn't be choshed him that he took from the Trumas HaMishkan and that he was pocketing some money. So there were no pockets in the robe. But then Rashi says, V'lav milsar, sher kravad nigmara melacha b'shas avod mehechon shakil. He says, that can't be the pshat because there was no money left. They already they already made the Mishkan, everything was already done. So where could he have taken anything from? All the avodas HaMishkan was already finished. So he doesn't buy it that Imra could mean a pocket because of a chshad that Moshe Rabbeinu, God forbid, that he was actually stealing money. If you look at Tosos, She'in Bo Imra, Tosos says, L'fichach lohoi Bo Imra, l'fichach b'zeh ha'yinikr yoser chadash. He says, no, that the idea of an Imra is that if it has an Imra on it, the beged, the beged looks like an older beged. They wanted it to look brand new because the be'in and shalom nishtamish bo hedyot l'fichasu mishunu mishar chalakim, because the beged that was used had to be something that was never used by a hedyot, was never used by anybody else. So they made it totally different so everyone would realize, oh, we've never seen anyone wear anything like that before. So it was very clear that it was a brand new beged. For Rav Rabbeinu Moshe Piresh, Shlo Yom Racher Kach Kishe Yishamish Aron, Shnim Tzumum B'Moshe, Ulkachaso B'lo Imra, Shiedu HaKol Shlo Yidover Miskayim, Asho Yimishamish. The other idea, Rabbeinu Moshe says in Tosfos, that no, the reason why it didn't have an Imra is, again, when it doesn't have an Imra, it's very unique, it's an unusual kind of beged. They wanted that beged to stand out, that if anyone would ever see it again, they'd immediately recognize it. And the reason for that is because they wanted it to be obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu was only meant to temporarily be the Kohen Gadol. It was never meant to last for a long time, because less people say that there was some problem with Moshe, that there was some mum, some psul in Moshe, and that's why Aaron HaKohen took over as Kohen Gadol. So they wanted to make it evident that no, it was never the plan for Moshe to stay on as Kohen Gadol. The way they made it evident was by making a beged that looked very temporary in nature. So to make it clear that there were no problems with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yesh Mefarshim Imra Kuma Amra, if you should be Kuno Yuklayim, Kamer Shazelo Yuklayim, that Imra should really be with an ayin, which means wool, that it had no wool. It wasn't wool and linen mixed, that there was no shatness in it. Normally, Big Day Kuna were allowed to have shatness. Asay do chalos asay. You're allowed to have shatness in the Big Day Kuna. But Moshe Rabbeinu was not wearing typical Big Day Kuna. That's what it was trying to say. So those are, what is it, three or four different pshatim in terms of what this means, that it was that it didn't have any imra. But back on the issue of misan and l'shaos, what's the case of misan and l'shaos? Tosa says that the case must be shekibel of me etmol, that the previous day he was already mekabel on himself the fast. Because if and how did the Kabbalah work? It can't be that I'm just being mekabel a fast stam, and this is absolutely a fast, because then it wouldn't just be the shalos, then it would be a full fast day. So it also says the way you must work this out, that he was mekabel on himself the previous day, that if it turns out that he doesn't eat until lunchtime, that he hasn't eaten anything by lunchtime, so then the fast, he wants to be mekabel a fast ad shetach shach. He wants to be mekabel a fast the rest of the day. Because if he were not mekabel the fast at all, why can't you just say it happened and he wasn't mekabel anything in advance, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon he realized, hey, I haven't eaten anything, might as well wait till the rest of the day? He says no, because Shmuel says in the first paragraph of Masechet Tainis, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, called tainus lo kibalav mibod yom lo shmei tainus. That's one of the basic requirements of a tainus. You need to be mekabalav mibod yom. So if he wasn't mekabalav mibod yom, the shaila doesn't get off the ground. So it must be that he's mekabel, but he's mekabel with this sort of tanai, that if it turns out that I don't eat for half a day, then I'll be mekabel the rest of the day. In the first wide line of Tosos, he suggests an alternative pshat. Maybe we're talking about where he wasn't mekabelit the previous day. When Shmuel Maseches Tainus Daf Yud Beis says that you need a kabbalah and that it's not called a tainus without a kabbalah in advance, that's really only a din lechachila. You don't really, it's not really ma'akev b'diavet. Certainly the lashon doesn't sound that way. Called tainus lo kibalav mibod yom lo shmei tainus makes it sound like even b'diavet it's not called a tainus, right? If he was a din lechachila, Shmuel should have said that if you want to be misanet tzarich lekabalav mibod yom, that would be more of a lashon of lechachila. But this certainly sounds much more like a lashon of a b'diavet. Let's move on a little bit. So says the just on the Moshe Rabbeinu being Mishamish, also very 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 interesting discussion about Moshe Rabbeinu's status during the Shivus Yimei HaMiluim. So Rashi says that Moshe was not Mishamish by Big Day Kuna because the Big Day Kuna pasuk says specifically La'ar Nochicha. So Moshe Rabbeinu was considered a Zar in regards to Big Day Kuna. That's why the Shiloh was raised. That's why the Kasha was raised. What did Moshe Rabbeinu use? And it wasn't an obvious answer that he used Big Day Kuna because we knew he couldn't use Big Day Kuna. But at the same time, he can't use street clothes to serve as the Kohen Gadol, so that's why we raised the question. If you look at Tosos of Kasha, Lamangim Perek Tvol Yom Bezvach, Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom Kohen Gadol Haya, V'nishtamish B'kunu Gadol Mem Shana, there is an opinion in Masech HaZvachim that Moshe Rabbeinu in fact was a Kohen Gadol, and he served as a Kohen Gadol for 40 years, Ulfizah Yitzarach Lishol B'meshimish Kol Mem Shana. If you hold like that Shita, then the question really should have been, what did Moshe Rabbeinu use for all 40 years? If you use the word Kohen Gadol in association with Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't say, oh, he just wore a white robe that didn't have any hem in it. That doesn't make sense, because once you call him a Kohen Gadol, it had to be that he had Big Day Kahuna. So V'yeshlomar Divshivis Yimei Milum Dafka Yibaya Shadayin Lo Neskatru Big Day Kahuna K'dichsiv Yizis Alarim Val Begadav. Now the question was not that Moshe Rabbeinu was a czar for Big Day Kahuna, and that's why we're bothered. The question was that there were no Big Day Kahuna yet. The Big Day Kahuna were only consecrated when Aaron put them on. Prior to that, there were no Big Day Kahuna. So that's why we're asking the question, and that's why we only ask the question about the Shivus Yimei Miluim, not about the rest of Moshe Rabbeinu's career when he also had a din of a Kohen Gadol according to that one Shita in Maseches Zvachim. So it says also, Rav Rabbeinu Yaakov Meir Orleans Piresh, Dafil Muskatshu Mikol Makom Kol Zayin Yimei Miluim Shoy Moshe Mamun HaMishkan Umufarko HaYinachshav Kama Bama Vein Big Day Kahuna Bebama. Even if they did have Big Day Kahuna, the Mishkan didn't have the full status of a Mishkan yet, because throughout the Zayin Yimei Miluim he was taking it apart and putting it back together every day. It wasn't already established as a Mishkan. And if it didn't have a din of a Mishkan yet, so then it has a din of a Bama, and the halach is you don't wear Big Day Kahuna by a Bama. So we wanted to know. That's why we're asking what Moshe Rabbeinu used. They had Big Day Kahuna available, but they weren't allowed to be used yet because it had the status of bringing karbanos by a Bama. Kedam perek basur tzvachim ve'ein lahakshos alo ein chatas karav bebama v'chatas milum karvasham. And don't ask, it can't be that it was a Bama, because you're not allowed to bring karban chatos on a Bama. And they brought a karban chatos during the Shivus Yimei Miluim. He says, no, that's an easy answer. This was a one-time event. It was a rasha that they were allowed to break certain rules. How do I know they were allowed to break certain rules? We know that they burnt the carbon chatas. A chatas of a yachid never gets burned. So we see that they broke the rules. The halachos of how they ran things was totally different because it was considered a hura'a sha'a. The Shar Mitzvah Balacha says that the reason we wear a kittel on the night of the Seder is based on what the Sfarim HaKadoshim, he says, Be'al Pimash Kasu B'Sfarim HaKadoshim Hatam Alva Rachat Shenotim Yadayim Kodem Avodas Halayla K'mon Atilas Yadayim L'Kohen Kodem Avoda. He says it's the reason perhaps we wear a kittel is based on Kahuna, that a Kohen before he does his Avoda has to wash his hands. Night of the Seder, we have an extra Atilas Yadayim thrown in there, right? So it's a Atilas Yadayim, it's considered as if the Seder is like a type of Avoda. And Chuvus Chassam Sofer says that Achilas Matzah is like Achilas Kodshim. So we wear a kittel, which is what? What is a kittel? It's a Chaluk Lavan. What's that got to do with Big Day Kahuna? Oh, it's what Moshe Rabbeinu used for the 7 days. So that's what the kittel reminds us of the Big Day Kahuna. And in Yana Dioma, Shar Mitzyana Ba'alacha says, the reason we wear a kittel on Yom HaKippurim is since we say the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And that's B'makom, the Avodas, and Neshama Parmes Faseinu. When we say over the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, that's supposed to be our replacement for the Avoda. So therefore we wear a kittel to remind ourselves of the Kohen Gadol. Totally different reason than the reasons we're perhaps used to about being like Malachim, etc. That we wear it to remind ourselves of the Kahuna. Now we don't have actual Big Day Kahuna, but this is the next best thing, because this served as Moshe Rabbeinu's actual Big Day Kahuna. Right, that concept of Mishalma promise for Satan, that's the Gemara Maseches Tainis. Avram Avinu said, Bamei Eda Ki Rishena, how do I know that my children are going to get Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, bring karbanos. As long as you bring karbanos, everything is good by me. And we'll be able to forgive all the averos. So Avraham Avinu said, okay, I know that trick. That's great for the several centuries where there's actually going to be a Beis HaMikdash. What are we going to do about the millennia where there's no Beis HaMikdash? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Neshama Parmes Faseinu, that if you say over the karbanos, you learn about the karbanos, you say the karbanos, that will be ki'ilu ukraftim, will be as if you actually brought those karbanos. That's Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos. Rav Shechter always likes to quote, Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos says that when we say karbanos in the morning, that might be a kiyum daraisa. It might be a kiyum daraisa, so people normally assume Pesukei Dezimra is much more important than karbanos. Who knows? Maybe based on that, karbanos might be a kiyum daraisa, Pesukei Dezimra is definitely not a kiyum daraisa. That's the idea of Neshalim Parmes Faseinu, and Be'ez Hashem tomorrow in Yom Kippur, that's what we should have in mind when we're saying over the Avoda what actually happens in the Avoda, and as if saying it makes it as if we're able to actually really do the Avoda Yom HaKippurim. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. That's a Daf Yomi coincidence. That's a big one. HaChartzanim V'Azagim Shalov De Kochavim, Chartzanim and Zagim Avov De Kochavim. So what are Chartzanim and so the Mishnah said that Chartzanim and Zagim, that the different grape products Avov De Kochavim, the peel, the seeds. So Toso says it's a discussion of Mesechas Nazir, which is which? Which is the peel, which is the seeds? But Chartzanim and Zagim, the different byproducts of a grape. So Shalov De Kochavim are asus. So says the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanu, we have a brayser. Chasan v'azagim shalav dekchavim lach nasurim yuveshim mutarim. If it's moist, it's asur. If it's dry, it's mutar. Heinenu lach and heinenu yuveshim. What's the definition of moist and dry in this context? Amar vidom or Shmuel. Lach in kol yudbeis chodesh. Yuveshim laachar yudbeis chodesh. Moist means throughout 12 months. For the first 12 months, after the grape, the juices are squeezed out. Dry is after 12 months. Itmar Amr Rabbi Abraham Rabbi Yochanan Kshein Asurin Afilu Ba'Hana'a. When they're Asur even Ba'Hana'a. Kshein Mutarin Mutarin Afilu Ba'Achila. But when they're Mutar, after they're totally dried out, then you're even allowed to eat them. Forget about Hana'a, you're even allowed to eat them. Amr Avzid. So the Gemara is now going to list several things that after 12 months become Mutar. It's going to give a list of 5 different things that after 12 months can become Mutar. Amr Avzid. Sediment of wine of Armenians after 12 months is going to be mutter. So if you look at Tosfos, he says Pir Shmarim Shalov Dekchavim Harav Rabbeinu Ephraim Haya Omer Kimi Svara Shmarim Shenisyavshu Betanur Mabul Lahem Kama Amtanad Yudbeis Chodesh. So Rabbeinu Ephraim had a phenomenal chiddush. He said, wait a second, if drying it out for 12 months makes it mutter because then it's totally dried out, that's that. Has no moisture, it's going to be mutter. He said, what if we dry it out artificially? Can't we speed up the process? put it in an oven, let it dry out that way. And therefore it should be mutter also. It should work the same as waiting 12 months. And he says, therefore, if you have pas akum, that they use shimre yayin, that they use dried up wine sediment, that was in order to be machmitz, in order as the yeast in the dough, that's okay. Because it was dried up in the tanur, it was dried up in the oven, it's as if it went through 12 months, and it's totally mutter, and the Gemara says mutter even ba'achila. That was a tremendous kula of Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Tam hikbidola. Notice the lashon. It doesn't just say Rabbeinu Tam cholek, Rabbeinu Tam amar, or whatever. Rabbeinu Tam hikbidola. Rabbeinu Tam was he was upset. How could you issue such a psak? What an irresponsible psak! When the Gemara says that through daya that the wine sediment is mutter after 12 months, that means it was soaking in water. So the water drew out all of the flavor from it already. It's not just the fact that it dried out. It dried out after the flavor was already totally drawn out of it. So says Rabbeinu Tam that it's both elements are critical. It has to be dry, and the flavor has to have come out of it already. So he does not like this psak of Rabbeinu Ephraim at all. He says, Shmarm shalon nishmadu, ain shum dover moel atiran. If it wasn't soaking in water, nothing's going to be matirit. And any dough that's made with it is going to be usser even by na'a. Forget about ba'achiva. And then he writes at the end, the strongest lashon I ever recall seeing in the Tosfos in terms of disagreeing with another Bala Tosfos, because of Rabbeinu Tam, v'hamora yora k'ben sora rumora, v'ala yara ruach habore. The one who paskin that way paskins like a ben sora rumora. I have the ruach Hashem on me when I paskin this halacha. I'm the one that's getting it right. Rabbeinu Ephraim has gotten it totally wrong. Very, very strong lashon. I don't recall ever seeing a lashon like that in the Tosfos. So apparently, yeah, he was hikbid alav. He was very upset by it. Okay, says the Gemara, next thing, second halacha, about 12 months. Amar of Chaviva Breid Rava, Hani Gulfi, Basar Tresi Archi Shasa Shari, jugs after 12 months become mutter. Amar of Chaviva, Hani, after the Tayai, Basar Tresi Archi Shasa Shari, these canteens that are made out of very thick leather, Rashi says, Chamas, a canteen, may or av, from thick leather, the kornos and butin, they call them butin. So after 12 months, they also become mutter. Apparently, again, they're not balea that much, and therefore 12 months, whatever blios were there, are going to be totally gone. Amra v'acha b'red ravika, hani portzani d'armari basa tresi archi shasa shari. These grape byproducts of Armenians, also, after 12 months, they're mutter. I'm not sure which byproducts exactly, as opposed to the seeds and the whatever, but certain byproducts of a grape. Amra v'acha b'red rava, hani gulfi shchimi v'uchmi, these red and black jugs, basar tresi archi shasa shari. After 12 months, they become totally mutter. Right? We have this assumption that after 12 months, the blios are totally gone. Now, this the first thing we mentioned on the top of the page here, avta. So Rashi said it's canteens, it's a leather flask or something that holds water. If you look in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Chananel, the third line of Tosfos, Rabbeinu Chananel garas avta lashon avatiach, from a lashon of avatiach. Pirish tala'as chalula, meaning like a hollowed out melon, umasimin bayayin, and they would keep wine in a hollowed out melon. Avatiach is a watermelon, right? So in a hollowed out a melon, they would keep wine. He says that's what it's talking about. So if you want to use that to keep your wine, after 12 months, it's okay. He says ve'enu nira ki lo masinu shum kli shaloyeh nitar bi'irui va'od ki avatiach v'dala'as einu echad. He says because we don't find any that's not going to become mutter through Iroi, and plus avatiach and dala'as are not the same thing. A dala'as is not the same type of fruit as an avatiach. Okay, fine. So, but the creative reading of avta is the lashon of avatiach. The idea of 12 months is something that does come up in halacha. There is, I think, it's a sheet of the Chacham Tzvi that any kli that kli cheres, after 12 months, the blios and the klei cheres totally disappear. They become so old. We know that after 24 hours, it becomes tamuf gam. But after 12 months, I think there's such a shita that it disappears totally. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he's willing to be somech on that shita if it's a hefsim ruba, and you also do hagala gimel panim. You do three times hagala. I mentioned in the past the story Rabbi Neuberger once told when he teaches his tefillas kelim shir on Yismicha, or his hagalas kelim shir. He said that he, when he was very young, he was first starting out in Rabbanus, someone asked him a shayla. They had this china that was handed down in their family, but you know, it wasn't kosher, and they wanted to know if there's any way that they can keep it. So he said, china, expensive china, hefsim ruba, Rav Moshe, Yud Beis Chodesh, so hagala gimel pamim. So he said, yeah, you could wait 12 months, do hagala three times, tzafsin ruber, Moshe holds you can keep it. Fine. Then someone else called him, like a few days later, another rabbi called him and said, how could you be matir for those people based on Moshe that it's hefsim ruba? Do you know that they have two Mercedes parked in their driveway? You think it's such a hefsim ruba for them? They're very wealthy people. And he felt terrible, and he went to Rav David Lipschitz. Rav David Lipschitz said, no, it's hefsim ruba. You got it right. Don't feel bad about it. You got the psak right. And he said, years later, he saw this guy, and the guy said to him, you should know, Rabbi Neuberger, we have tremendous hakar satov to you. He said, why? What did I ever do for you? He said, we're only from today because of you. He said, I answered a couple of shaylos for you. What did I do for you? He said, when we were deciding whether we should become Balei Tshuva or not, whether we should become Frum, he said, the man said, I was very into it. My wife was a little hesitant. And she said, I'll tell you what, the make it or break it is going to be if I can keep my china. I'm willing to become Frum. So he said, we're only Frum today because of you. So he got the Pesach right. Sometimes a Posek has a certain Siyata Deshmaya. Okay, so it says the Gemara, Va'amuryas. So Tan Rabbanan, Muryas Uman Mutar. Muryas, which is the Mishnah said is Asr, right? The Mishnah said, Muryas from Navid Chavim is Asr. Muryas is a fish product. It's it's some type of food that's drawn out from the fats of a fish. They soak something in the fats of a fish, and the problem is not the fish. It's kosher fish. The problem is that they add wine to it sometimes. So Muryas Uman Mutter, the Muryas of a professional is Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Amar Shem Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Av Chilek Uman Mutter. Chilek of an Uman is also Mutter. Chilek is a type of kosher, tiny little fish. The reason why sometimes it's Aser is that they would mix in, non-kosher fish would get mixed in and people wouldn't notice. But if it's an Uman, if you have a pro who's doing it, he'll notice when it's a non-kosher fish. He'll be able to tell the difference whether it's a non-kosher fish getting mixed in or not. Tanya Vimi Bered Rabbi Avahu, Muryas Uman Mutter, Muryas of an Uman is Mutter, Hu Tani Lavahu Amarla. So he had to explain exactly what that means. Under what circumstances exactly is Muryas Uman Mutter? So he explained, Pam Rishon Vesheni, the first two times that they draw out the fat from the fish, then it's Mutter, because he would never mix wine into it at that time. Shlishi Aser, but once it's already on its third life, they're already drawing out from the third time, then it's going to be Aser. My time, so what's the Svara? Pam Rishon Vesheni Dinafashum Nayu, when there's still lots of fat there the first two times, Lot Sarach Lamirmi Vuchamra, you don't need to put wine in it to make it good. Mikan Ve'elach Ron Vuchamra, but any subsequent time, they would put wine in it in order to make it good. Period. Hahu Arba de Muryas. There was a boat that was full of Muryas. Da Asil in the Mela de Acho that came to the port of Acho. Osef Rabbi Abba de Menacho Naturi Bada. So Rabbi Abba, who's the rabbi of the town apparently, appointed guards to watch over it, to make sure, to protect it, to make sure that nothing happens, that no one sticks any wine into it, no one tampers with it. So Amrle Rava Ada Idna Man Natra. So Rava said, who was watching it until now? Now all of a sudden you're watching over it, meaning this is coming from who knows where. It's coming, Gaim watching it for months, and now you're going to go and say that I'm going to put a shomer on it. That's like going to the supermarket and standing by the meats and saying, okay, I'm watching it to make sure that everything is okay. It was already geschachted. It's ready. It's a little too late to start watching it now. Rabbi Yaakov points out, what was Rava doing there? This is Eretz Yisrael. So he says, well, you see, a lot of the Amoraim from Bavel went to learn in Eretz Yisrael. That was the derech. It's like nowadays, the boys go to learn in Eretz Yisrael before they come back. A lot of the Rabbanim in Bavel went to learn in Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, Amalei, Adi Inna, Lamai Nechushla. So Rabbi Abba said, no, up until now, there was nothing to worry about. Imishum Demar V'Bei Chamra, if you're worried that they mixed wine into it, Kista Demorius Beluma, Kista Dechamra Bedal Lume. A Kista measure of Morias cost one Luma, a Kista of wine cost four Lumi. Why would they pass possibly mix wine in it, it's more expensive than the morius itself. So there's no motivation to mix wine in it. Maybe they passed by Tzur, where wine is very cheap, and they were able to get wine for cheaper than the morius, and maybe they stuck wine in it over there. No, the boat never would have made it if they went through there, because it's very choppy waters over there, so they never would have gone through Derech Tzur. We know where they came from, and we know that there's no way there's wine in here. Ugvinas Beis Unaiki. The Mishnah spoke about the cheese of Beis Unaiki. So Amar Reb Shimon Lakish, why is the cheese of Unaiki Aser? We know that the Mitzius is, that the Gemara always assumes, is that the only milk that can curdle, that can actually turn to cheese, is kosher milk. Non-kosher milk, milk of non-kosher animals, cannot turn to cheese anyway. So what are you worried about with cheese? What are you worried about with the Gvinas Beis Unaiki? So the answer with cheese is always the rennet. We're worried about how did they curdle it? How did they turn it? So which, what kind of rennet did they use? So he said, "Neisharova galim shalosiir nishchatin lavodas kachavim." Most of the agalim, most of the calves in that city, are shechted for avodah zara. Therefore, the rennet is going to be aser. So he says, "Mayuri rova galim afilu miyunami dahar meir chayishul miyuta." We're just trying to explain the sheet of Rameir who asers this cheese. So why do you even need that it was rova galim, even if it was only a minority of the calves that are shechted for avodah zara? Rameir happens to be the shita that's choshish lumiuta in Masech Sivamis and Nafkuf Yates, where he says that a katan and a katana can't do chalitza or yibum because we're afraid the katan, when he grows up, it's going to turn out he's going to be a sris. The katana is going to turn out to be an islandist. So that's obviously a miut, but Rameir is worried about the miut. He's choshish lumiuta. So Iyamrit, so says Gemara now, Iyamrit rove. If it's rove in this town that are shechted avodah zara, ikomiyut, then it's a miyut of the entire world, right? Because most other places, they don't shecht avodah zara. So then it would be a legitimate miyut. You'd understand why Rameir would be choshesh. Eliam miyut, but if you want to say even in that town it was only a miyut, since rove of the agalim are not shechted avodah zara, and also every other animal in this town is not shechted avodah zara, havli miyuta de miyuta. It's not even a miyut. It's less than a miyut. It's a miyut de miuto, miuto de miuto lo chayish Rameir. And even though Rameir is choshish for miut, he's not choshish for a miuto de miuto. What does it matter that it's shechted for avodah zara? Va'atu d'shari, you Reb Shimon Lakish hold that even if an animal is shechted for avodah zara, it's mutter. The itmar, because it was taught, hashochet es habehema lizrok dam al avodah zchavim. If a person shechts an animal, having in mind that he wants to do his rikas dam for avodah zara from this animal, or lahakter chel b'al avodah zchavim, he shechts the animal thinking that he wants to burn the fats of the animal for avodah zara, Rabbi Yochanan amar asura. Rabbi Yochanan says absolutely that animal is going to be asur. Why? Kasavra mechashu meavodah leavodah v'alfim lechutz mipnim. That he holds that what you think while you do one avodah can have, even though you're thinking about another avodah, that actually has an effect and can affect the overall status of the animal. Because yalfim lechutz mipnim, we know that that's true in the Beis Hamikdash. When you shecht with machsheves pigel, that you're going to eat something, you're going to eat the meat from that carbon, chutz l'zmano, that has an effect on the status of the entire animal. So the same is true with avodah zara. So Rabbi Yochanan says, absolutely becomes asr. But Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Amr Mutaris, Rabbi Shimon Lakish says that it's mutter. So you, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, hold that it's no problem if it's shechted the shame avodah zara. So what are you worried about? So Amalei, Tarminach Shaitech, unclear exactly what that expression means. Rashi seems to translate it as, you're in luck. Meaning, either you're in luck that I've answered this question, or that I know the answer to this question, or better luck next time in terms of asking better questions, because this is a bad question, something like that. It was some sort of expression. He says, but the answer is, Ba'omer b'gemar zvicha hu ovda. The case is that he's trying to do it, l'shem avodah zara, at the gemar zvicha, at the very end of the zvicha, that on the shechita itself, he thought, not that I'm going to be maktir chalav avodah zara, I'm doing the shechita l'shem avodah zara. And that certainly has an effect on the status of the animal. It's certainly going to become Asr Banah. Everyone shall have Gemara Chasima Tova. Hashem, Daf Lamed Hey, tomorrow at some point during the break.
45 minutes before Mincha.
45 minutes before Mincha.